The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur in real time.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to FBC Radio Live. It's Wednesday. It's January the 12th. It's 2021. And that's right, we're just a few days away from Wild Card Weekend here in the NFL. We have three games in the AFC, three games in the NFC. That's the plus. That's the bonus that you get when you add a seventh playoff team and you get six games on Wild Card Weekend. It should be fun. There's going to be some pretty good matchups. But we still have a few days to go, John. We still have a few days to go. There's a lot more to discuss. There's a lot more going on. Most importantly, it's the firing of a bunch of coaches. But before we get into that, there's a couple of things I do want to mention because I have to give a shout out to my guy Joel, who brought to my attention a particular, let's say, anniversary today. And for all of you out there that are wrestling fans, you will obviously remember this and know this. But for you, those that aren't, I'm going to refresh your memory with this little clip.
If you want to stick together and make this thing work, when I turn around, we're going to shake hands and we're going to go on a rock and roll like the Rockers can do.
We need each other. You know that.
Sounds fair to me.
He's not going to walk away. They need each other.
See, one without the other isn't any good.
Oh, I knew he was going to do that. I just knew he was going to do that. He don't need Jannetty. I told you that off and on.
Are you kidding? What a despicable act that was.
No! Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Right through the glass window of the barbershop.
Jannetty tried to dive through the window to escape.
One of the greatest lines in wrestling commentator history right there. Of course, obviously, I wish I had the visual up on the screen for y'all. Oh, God, I hate when I say that. I just said y'all. All right, whatever. Forget that happened. I wish I had the video up for everyone to see, but of course, that was from January 12th, 1992, John. I was a wee lad back then, only 6 years old. 5 years old, actually. I hadn't quite turned six. But Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels, the Rockers at the time, big split between the two, big tag team, and Shawn Michaels, I'm sorry, Marty Jannetty cowardly dove through the glass window at the barbershop after slamming his face on the foot of Shawn Michaels. So, it was a great, it's just a great memory, obviously. I was a big wrestling fan as a kid. I still am. I don't certainly watch with any sort of regularity now, but, you know, that was certainly prime time wrestling viewing in my life. And like I said, that whole clip, I wish I actually kind of that I played a couple more seconds because, I mean, it's just ripe with great one-liners between Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan, the greatest manager in wrestling history. So I don't know how big of a fan you were at the time or if you were at all, but I know our wrestling fans out there definitely remember that moment.
Well, I'm so old that I was a wrestling fan more in the 70s and, say, early 80s. You know, Hulk Hogan came around in the late 70s and was a superstar and would fight Andre the Giant. You know, I remember
Killer
going
Kowalski, right? You know, Killer just like Kowalski, Kramer, was, you know, when he does the, you
absolutely
know.
Yep, absolutely. The claw. In fact, I got to interview Killer Kowalski a couple of times when I was doing TV back then, and very, very nice man, very thoughtful guy. Yeah, too. I mean, you wouldn't think that he was a vegetarian. He was a deep thinker, you know, all of that stuff. So I love that stuff when I was younger.
I've actually met him several times before he mm-hmm. passed. His hands, like if you ever shook his hand, first of all, they were massive. But my memory was he had the longest length between like the where your thumb bends right. to like his in, like it was just massive. It like it was a claw. I mean, that's like exactly what it was. So, you know, it was very appropriate. That was kind of what he was known for, was like, you know, doing the claw and all that stuff. And yeah, so I just wanted to add that in, because I too have met him, and to your point, you know, nice guy, you know, even in his really, you know, later stages of life.
Yeah, I mean, you know how they measure the quarterback's hands, which is from the thumb to the pinky finger. I like Kill Kowalski's is probably like 12, 13 inches.
Yeah.
If a quarterback's at 10 inches, they're considered to have big hands. So I was a big fan then, and then it kind of got away from it. And it's a little bit different now than it was back then. It almost felt more organic back, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s. And now it seems so scripted and rehearsed. Mm-hmm. But they do a great job of building characters and getting the fan base to really buy into it. It's tremendous. Reality TV, if you will, and they still sell out the arena when they come to TD Garden. They bang out 17,000-18,000 people, and the fans are all excited. It's just entertainment. And look, mm-hmm. Vince McMahon is a marketing genius. I mean, he took it at a certain level and just grew it to the point that it's as big as it is now. So
he took a regional sport, exactly. essentially, and yep. made it, you know, national, and made it global,
yep.
actually, not just national.
Yep.
And you know, look, it is what it is now. I know, you know, when you get as big and as successful as what World Wrestling Entertainment is now, of course, you're going to hear more criticisms than you hear mm-hmm. praise. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, it's just the nature of success. I mean, once you get so successful, like, it just gets boring praising their success. So guess what? You're going to nitpick. So yeah, I mean, they've seen better days, I'm sure. And like, look, I'm personally not as invested as I used to be, you know, for many reasons, but, you know, I still appreciate what it is and the entertainment and how many great moments it gave me as a kid, you know, because like I said, I was 5 years old at the time, but, you know, my grandfather, my uncle, they were both really big into it. So I grew up watching wrestling. Like, my uncle had one of those, you know, massive satellite dishes back up in Maine in the backyard. You know, it took up like, you know, like what, 25 square feet or whatever. We're not talking just like, you know, throw something on the roof. We're talking like, okay, this is, you feel like you're coming into a government facility when you see this thing, hanging out in the backyard. But so we used to see all those, like, WWE In Your House, all the early versions of the pay-per-views, you know, when it was just like SummerSlam, WrestleMania, all that stuff. So so yeah this was right in my wheelhouse, and I always love remembering this, and I'm glad, thank you, Joel, for bringing that up and tweeting this at me, because I completely forgot. And it's great. You know why, John? You know why? It's a great metaphor for kind of what's going on in the NFL right now. We have a lot of owners just throwing their coaches through the plate glass window right now and just tossing them to the curb. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. One more side note, and again, maybe showing my age a little bit, and certainly showing yours. Howard Stern, 68 years old today. How about that? For all of us who grew up listening to radio or you know, enjoying radio, certainly, you know, our, my age group and older, essentially, knows who Howard Stern is. And, you know, whether you like him, whether you don't, whether your opinion has changed of him, he's obviously, you know, again, has gotten older and has changed from when he was, you know, kind of the biggest name in radio back in the 90s and certainly in the early 2000s. But I spent a lot of time still listening to a lot of the stuff from years ago, the 90s and early 2000s, and certainly some of the older shows. And being someone who likes to talk a lot and do shows like this, it's certainly someone I pay attention to in terms of professionalism and in terms of just the raw radio aspect of everything. Maybe, again, you can disagree with his antics and some of the things he's done over the years and all that stuff. That's not what I'm commenting on. But, you know, when you're in this business for as long as he has been and done the things he has, it's hard not to be impressed.
Oh, the guy's a genius. He's brilliant. You know, he started out, went to Boston University, worked at small stations, just continued to grow from there. The thing I like is how he's evolved into what I think is a very good interviewer at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he has someone in studio with him for an hour, 2 hours, whatever it may be, he's fantastic at it. He really is, because he understands that it's about the person you're interviewing, and he draws out a lot from them, right? So I think he's developed into just a sensational interviewer. I was always more of an Imus guy than – than a Stern guy, because, you know, Imus would bring a little bit more of the serious stuff into it than Howard Stern. But Howard Stern's kind of evolved into, like I said, I think he's a sensational interviewer.
Yeah,
that's a skill set that not everyone has.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely different than what it was. And look, I mean, that's, you know, the diehard Stern fans who grew up listening, and, you know, I still listen to all the, you know, hijinks stuff, all the stuff that you sit here and you're like, wow. I mean, it's so silly and stupid, but, you know, to me, it's hilarious. Like, I can listen to prank calls, tradio prank calls over and over again every single day, because it just gives me just so much joy and humor. I like that stuff. And again, hey, maybe that means I'm immature. I've never disputed that. But now, obviously, like I said, 68 years old, the times have changed. He has changed as he's gotten older, and, you know, that's where he gets the most criticism when it comes to where he's at now. And I understand. I mean, the diehards are going to be like, all right, well, this isn't the same exact show, and I get it. You know, he's going to be hypocritical because he's been on the air so damn long. So of course, at some point, his views are going to change, and you can sit there and say, oh, see, you said that. Well, that was 1994. You know, that was 25 right. years ago. Like, let's use some reason with that. So I get it. And to me, it's not the same show. It's not the same exact show that I loved, but I still appreciate it. And to your point, one of my favorite things he does in interviews, and it's a great little tactic. I don't know how many people pick up on it or whatnot, but he gets information and he presents it to whoever he's interviewing, but not necessarily accurate. And by that, I mean, he will say something like, oh, so I heard this, this, and this, and it's not necessarily true, but what it does is it opens up the door for the person he's interviewing to explain why that's not true, and in turn, give the actual answer. And if you listen to more and more of his interviews, you think, you know, the guy's prepared, so you know he obviously knows what he's talking about. So some of these details that he gets or are slightly off are done purposefully. So it's like, you know, that again opens up the door for whoever is interviewing to be like, no, that's not quite right. This is what happened. And there you go. You got your answer. And it's great.
That's a great tactic, actually. Yeah. Yeah, because now you can really get the truth out of that person. We've got to have a Howard Stern, Aaron Rodgers session, right? I mean, I think that would be pretty fascinating. That would be like World War III at some point.
He's a Brady guy, man. He's a Brady guy. He's schmoozed with Robert Kraft in the past. Like, you know, not a lot of people remember this, but you go back to, I believe it was the second Super Bowl win for the Patriots. You know who called in Howard's turn the next morning? Bill Belichick. You know, I actually wish I thought about that before we got on the air today, because I would have tried to find the audio. I'll try to do that. Hopefully, maybe I'll have it for tomorrow morning. Actually, I will have it for tomorrow morning. We can revisit that. But Bill Belichick actually called into the show. And, you know, that was back when I was listening. I mean, again, this was, for me, appointment listening. At the time, it was airing in Boston. This was 2002, 2003. So it was like, was it WBCN somewhere else if you got closer to Western Mass. But so he was airing there. Obviously, it was a few years before he went to satellite. I got satellite when he went. So, you know, again, I'm a huge fan, and you know, this is before I did any sort of stuff like this. So, you know, to me, it's you know, now I look back and I'm like thinking about it more critically, you know, more I guess professionally, and I use professionally loosely when referring to myself, but you know what I'm trying to say.
He's had an incredible impact on the business side as well, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, just with satellite, Sirius, that type of media, right? I mean, like now you and look, I have friends who bought the Lifetime package, and it's turned out to be a good deal. I think it was $250 like 5 years ago. I'm maybe off on the facts here, but now they've got it for the rest of their lives. But just think about all the money that he brings in. That's why when people say, you know, he makes $100 million a year. Well, yeah, if he makes $100 million a year, but if he's creating $500 million a year for that particular company, then he's well worth it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like these college coaches, you know, whatever you're paying Nick Saban, he's well worth it. He's won 6 national championships, and all the money they bring in for the football program pays for the entire athletic program at Alabama. So, yeah, I've never had problems with people making all that type of money because they're creating a lot of that money. It's not like someone just gifted them $100 million a year and they didn't create anything. This guy's created an entire new way of listening.
And the reality of it, too, is, like, I mean, we look at it now as not kind of a big deal, but, you know, deciding to make the leap from terrestrial radio to satellite, we know satellite now is kind of a big name in radio now. Obviously, it's 2022, mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, things have changed. But we're talking early 2000s when the idea of paying a subscription to listen to radio, mm-hmm. when otherwise right. radio has been free forever, was not a slam dunk idea by any means. So. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time, it was Sirius and XM Radio. There were two separate companies kind of vying for that, you know, market share, that market supremacy there. And obviously, Stern decided to take a leap. And they decided to take a plunge and, you know, obviously put a lot of faith into him. And that's what helped build what is now a massive, massive company with mm-hmm. stations. And it's, you know, standard in just about every new car now. So, like... In hindsight, it's like, oh, well, yeah, you know, satellite radio was a great idea. Well, it wasn't necessarily considered that at the time. And you know, being in the business at the time, that I'm sure it got a lot of pushback from traditionalists. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, that's just how it goes. It's like, well, this new medium has come in. And, well, of course, it's not, you know, the internet's not going to last, you know. That's just a fad, right. You know. It's like, yeah. no, it's not. And... You know, just some of these guys have enough foresight to see it. And, you know, to his credit, you know, he went and helped build what we know now. And look, I mean, again, some of the diehards, I get it. You know, it's not the day, like the prime days of, like, you know, when you had all the whack packers. I mean, there's been so many that have passed on over the years and all the office hijinks, you know, you still get some of that, but it's a different dynamic now. And, you know, certainly with, you know, this COVID era, you know, it's certainly even more different. So, yeah, it's going to change when you're on the air for, I mean, hell, he's been on satellite for 17 years now. 17 right. years. Yeah. Like, that's, or 16 years, I'm sorry, 2006 was when he jumped over to satellite. So, yeah, it's pretty remarkable and it's pretty wild. But to your point, though, you know, I spent much of my life listening to him talk about how he didn't want to turn into Don Imus. He pretty right. much has. Which, look,
yeah, exactly,
again,
yeah.
like, you can kind of poke fun and whatever and criticize him for that. You know, that's fair. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, look, the guy's 68 years old. Like, there's going to be certain things he's going to, you know, he might be a little bit out of touch, so.
And also, he's got $500 million in the bank, right?
Yeah,
so
oh, yeah.
That does change you. It's no different than Bruce Springsteen selling his catalog for $500 million.
Yeah.
So now he's a different person than he was, say, yesterday. And there's always pushback to musicians and actors, right? Like, I grew up, my favorite actor was Robert De Niro. He still remains one of my favorite actors. But obviously in the last 10 or 15 years, he's made a lot of bad movies. I get that. But he's also been able to make good movies as well. It's not like he forgot how to act. It's just that, you know, he's now 78 years old. Is he going to... Yeah. You know, put the time in and the research. Is he going to gain 60 pounds like he did 40 years ago to make Raging Bull? No. I mean, you age and now you're in a different place. Same thing with musicians. I know people say, well, U2's become too commercial and whatever. But there is an evolution there from artists, whether it be musicians, actors, and in the case of Howard Stern. So, yeah, people evolve. That's kind of what life is about. I mean, we're different than we were a year ago or 10 years ago. So, you know, people that want people to stay the same, they're not being fair to those people and they're really not thinking in the right direction.
Yeah. And look, I mean, it, like I said, the fortunate thing about the time in which we live in, there's so much of what used to happen and what used to be online. You know, I can listen to old shows and I do it all the time, John. Mm-hmm. I do it. I mean, yep. I have no problem going back and listening to the same thing over and over and over again if I like it. Because, again, there's certain things that I listen to, like, anyone who remembers Hank, he's actually a Massachusetts guy, you know, and anyone, you know, he's obviously since passed on, but one of my favorite clips was when he came into the studio to play trivia with Gary, rock and roll trivia, and anyone who knows Hank knows he was an alcoholic, and obviously mm-hmm. no one's poking fun at alcoholism, but he got into the studio and was absolutely trashed to the point where like he couldn't even sit on a stool, but yet he was just cleaning the floor with like these rock and roll trivia. He knew everything. I mean, it was incredible. And it's stuff like that where I go back and I watch these clips and I listen to all this stuff. And I remember some of it watching, or listening either on the radio or at the time the E Show was on. So it's fun to go back. You know, I do still listen now. I still have my Sirius subscription. So, of course, I try to tune in when I can. But I just sit there. I'm like, man, 68 years old. And to be doing this as much as he has for as long as he has, that's pretty incredible. So, but anyways, now that we got that out of the way, I do want to we were going to talk about some of the coaching moves, and perhaps we will get to that, but considering our history, whenever this topic gets brought up, generally all bets are off when it comes to changing it once we start it. So I did want to share one graphic in this MVP discussion that we've been having for quite some time now, or it feels like we've been having forever. I mean, and we're going to continue to have, because although they are voting on the award this week, we're not going to know for another several weeks. So it's going to be pretty much torture, John. So prepare, take your time.
For me especially.
Yeah,
right?
Well, yeah. For you especially, because, you know, it depends on what happens on Twitter, what triggers me is how I'm going to act on the show on the day-to-day basis. But one of my favorite accounts on Twitter, TB_facts. Check it out, Tom Brady Facts, if you couldn't deduce that from the from the handle. Basically tweets out a lot of great information about Tom Brady, you know, some information that, again, you got to dive a little bit deeper to find, and just unique facts, which are fun and stuff like that. But in this situation, this is actually very useful. So the last few weeks, I've put out my own version of a graphic, which is basically what I call a data dump, and it's just a collection of all these random numbers that we've been just hearing over and over again for whatever. And we know, like, certain groups will pick and choose which ones they want, or so I wanted to present it as objectively as possible. You know, give people the option to figure out the information on themselves for themselves. You know, if they didn't figure it out right, well, yeah, I was there to remind them or point them in the right direction. But, you know, for the most part, it was there to enlighten folks' minds when it comes to this race, because I feel like it's been completely flipped upside down, and it's, for me, I'm struggling to figure out which way it's actually going to go. I know how it should go, John. I'm just trying to figure out how it's actually going to play out, because the narratives, the discussions out there in the Twitter world, out there in the ESPNs and the FS1s of the world, it's the conversation is just so mashed up and upside down, like, you know, black is white, night is day, you know that whole Seinfeld bit. So anyways, mm-hmm. this graphic, and I wish you could see it, John, because unfortunately you can't because you're on the phone. That's why we got to get you on camera so you can actually see this screen, lays out essentially all the key numbers for both Brady and Rodgers, and they list them column next to each other, and then in the third column is the difference, Brady's difference, or essentially, I mean, the difference between the two. But in this particular case, this is where Brady differs from Rodgers, and Rodgers, to his credit, holds, you know, leads obviously in several efficiency metrics, which is fine. But when you actually look and you visualize and see the quantitative total of the differences, it's astonishing how one-sided it is. And not only are, I guess, total metrics in favor of Brady, but the things that Rodgers leads in, and this is kind of one of the things I've been kind of trying to hammer home for a while now, that the passer rating, the touchdown to interception ratio, the 0.3 lead in QBR, the you know, 0.02 lead in net yards per attempt, all these like marginal differences which favor Rodgers, which has been really the cause, the thing that these fans and media have been championing for him. Whatever. I'm not even going to try. I'm on a roll right now.
Campaigning for or championing?
I was having problems with championing. It's like Oh, Jesus. Now I'm blanking on. See, I was on a roll now, John. Now I lost my train of thought.
Couldn't say Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's like Jackie Onassis. That's what I felt like right there. But anyways, these numbers, the differences. I mean, it's honestly, John, I'll actually send you this graphic. If you haven't seen it already, I'll just text it to you.
Oh, I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. It's staggering how marginal, and we're talking about the margin of difference between these two players are almost at the level of, like, the margin of error, which speaks to how minimal that these differences are, or at least the ones that Brady trails in. And when you consider some of the factors and how some of these numbers are impacted, passer rating, touchdown to interception ratio, net yards per attempt, that type of stuff, it is heavily influenced by things outside of the factors of the quarterback. And by that, I mean things like drops. I mean, and that we're not talking about what ifs or anything like that. We're just talking about raw numbers. And that's why, again, that total, that difference total, that 19 drop total difference, which isn't even included on this list, by the way. That's the other cool thing. Like, this list is here, and drops aren't even included in this, which, again, is heavily in favor of Brady. You factor in drops, then if you want to, for icing, factor in strength of schedule, all that stuff, it all comes out with Brady on top. And so, to me, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, this is staggering. This, to me, just tells you exactly what we've seen all season, and which is very obvious. Tom Brady has been that guy for Tampa Bay. And that's not to say Aaron Rodgers hasn't had a great season, but the Buccaneers are just so much more reliant on his arm. And not only that, he's produced. I mean, that's the thing. People criticize him for throwing pass attempts. Oh, all the pass attempts. Well, you don't just purely achieve when you throw many passes. I mean, there's a reason why there's not too many examples of quarterbacks that have high pass attempt seasons like that, or average X amount of pass attempts every season, and they're relatively successful. Certainly not 13-4 successful. So that's a unfortunate. I don't know why people are really using that as a root cause or a big cause for their campaign for a Pro Rodgers MVP. Because to me, that's telling me the exact opposite. People want to criticize Brady for throwing more, and I'm just saying, like, that just tells me exactly what we've seen. He is by far more relied on by the Bucs than Rodgers is by the Packers. And again, that's not a knock on Rodgers. It's just what we've seen. And we're talking about almost 200 more attempts. You know, he set the record for completions. Third most passing yards in the entire history of the NFL. Rodgers is 10th most this season. I mean, that's a huge gap. That's a massive gap. We're not even talking, you know, the difference would be essentially 2.5 games worth of Rodgers averages, or I'm sorry, 4.5 games to make up that 1,200 yards. And if he were to make up, you know, give him that extra game, if he were to match him in total touchdowns, he would have to throw two more touchdown passes than he had thrown all season in any single game this season. So, again, it to me, I think it's pretty obvious. The more you see these total big picture numbers laid out for everyone, because everyone wants to harp on numbers, so here we go, we're presenting all of them. It's just a landslide for Brady. The volume, the stats, the efficiency, it's there. Rodgers is efficient too. No one's saying that's not the case, but big picture wise, it's Brady. Everything favors Brady. Strength of schedule, Brady has the second toughest one as a offense this season. Rodgers 17th. Receiver grades, if you want to count that, guess what? That favors Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how much validity you want to put into that. It is what it is, but I put more validity into drops. 35. That's second most in the NFL. Rodgers, 15, I think, is his final number, which obviously is 25th. And all these numbers, again, like I said, just favor Brady. Total offense for the Packers, they're 10th. I mean, they're a top 10 offense, fringe top 10 offense. That's good. It's just not MVP good. And so to me, I look at this, all these graphics, all these things, and I'm really hoping here that the voters see this and they understand this and they look beyond just touchdown to interception ratio. Touchdown to interception ratio. That's all anyone cares about. And I'm just sitting here thinking, what are touchdowns and interceptions without context?
Oh, I can speak. Here's the thing I think is going to happen. And look, whichever one wins it is deserving. They both had, you know, outstanding years. And I think the bottom line here is they're both 13-4. The only two teams in football this year that won 13 games were Green Bay and Tampa. Yeah. So that kind of should take everybody else out of the discussion. I mean, Joe Burrow's a nice story. I think he's going to win comeback player of the year because, you know, came
look,
back
the
from that.
The Colts didn't even make the playoffs. So
I don't want to hear about Jonathan Taylor. And Cooper Kupp, we can't get – I mean, Jerry Rice never won the MVP. How are we going to give the MVP to Cooper Kupp, who's a wonderful player? But if you're going to give it to a receiver, Davante Adams is every bit as good, right?
Yeah, to mention, again, the Rams didn't win as many games as both of those. And I know that's not the deciding factor, but, you know –
that's pretty important, I think.
Well, you have to somehow prove that Cooper Kupp's value was so much, he was so great that he – you know what I mean – to overcome winning fewer games than, you know, we're talking about, you know, NFC teams as well. So I don't know. It's tough. It's
not baseball where, you know, Shohei Ohtani won the MVP and his team wasn't even close to the playoffs. And Vlad Guerrero Jr. finished second. His team just missed the playoffs. I would have voted for Vlad over Shohei Ohtani. But this baseball's got a ton of guys that have won MVPs for non-playoff teams. I mean, Andre Dawson won the MVP one year, I think 1987, the team was in last place. That is a different award. But I think what's going to happen here, Ian, is it almost feels a little bit like a presidential election. Like Brady's going to win the popular vote, but somehow Rodgers is going to win the Electoral College because his advantage is a small, you know, so and that Brady's advantages are bigger. So it could be somewhat like that. I think it's going to be very, very close. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as like Bruce Arians saying, if he doesn't win, it's going to be a travesty. Now, that's what Bruce Arians has to say. It's his quarterback that he's supporting.
Hey, look, I don't necessarily agree with everything Bruce Arians says, but I agree with him on this. This is what I'm saying. Like I said, I brought it up before. You know, I was certainly understanding and thought Aaron Rodgers deserved the MVP last year. This isn't I'm just going all in for my guy. Like, I'm just looking at this, and I would like to think that I'd have I'm not going to say the same passion because that'd be impossible when Tom Brady's not involved, but I'd feel like I'd have the same energy or same feeling if it were two other quarterbacks not named either of these two guys. Because, like, to me, I'm looking at it just in a vacuum. I mean, forget about the names, and I'm just like, one guy is just, I mean, to me, has just been so much better. And not... I feel like saying so much better that kind of weakens my argument, and so I'll take that back because I don't think either guy, whether you prefer one or the other, is so much better than the other. But in this race, when we're splitting hairs, this is akin to being so much better. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you know, we're not talking incredible differences between the two, but with a race this tight, when you add up all these numbers, it should be a slam dunk. And I do think this would, you know, I think looking back, like I think the reason Aaron Rodgers might win this award is kind of the opposite of what you said. Like you said, Brady might win the popular vote. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I think Aaron Rodgers has already won the popular vote. He won the popular vote 3 weeks ago.
No, but what I'm saying is raw numbers.
I know.
Hillary Clinton won the popular vote and lost the electoral college.
I'm talking about this in the more literal sense. Like,
no, don't say like, popular. No, I'm talking about in the presidential
election
context.
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. So I get that. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers was anointed 3 weeks ago. They said he won the MVP. And there's been no it's like I said, it's I brought it up, you know, several times already. The Chris Collinsworth stuff from a couple weeks ago. You know, him being up there on Sunday Night Football just completely not acknowledging anything else, but, oh, there's no way Aaron Rodgers could lose this when it's, like, at the time. It's like, you could argue that he hadn't even overtaken Brady at that point. So, you know, to me, the popularity contest was won for Rodgers weeks ago. So I do believe if Brady doesn't win this will be one of the worst decisions when it comes to this award. I'm not going to sit here and declare it was the worst because – again, I'd have to go back and kind of look at some of these other races and try to figure out the context of those. But, you know, to me, in my lifetime, I can't think of a more, I guess, travesty might be a word when it comes to the context of this discussion, the context of this award. Like, I just don't see how we can look at the entire big picture, and that's what frightens me. I don't know if they're going to look at the big picture. I don't know if they're just going to be like, oh, well, look, touchdown interception ratio. So, hey, it has to be Rodgers. Well, no. If you look at it, you realize that it should be a slam dunk, in my opinion, for the other guy. And if he doesn't win it, like I said, it's going to be highway robbery, my friend. Federal offense, in my opinion. Lock, you know, put him away, throw away the key type of thing.
Ooh, that would be a bit harsh, wouldn't it? You're going to throw away. Who are you putting away? Aaron Rodgers or the voters?
Certain voters. We'll see. We'll see. Certain what voters. Well, I haven't really thought that far through, John. All right, come on. I'm flying right. off. You know,
you still off. Got off another 4 weeks.
There. I know. Well, that's
4 weeks before the award is announced, which is crazy. But this is how obviously these sports know what they're doing. They stretch it out so we can continue to talk about it, and then they have that award ceremony leading up to the Super Bowl. You know. So they're pretty smart with this stuff. The NBA gives out the MVP generally in the second round of the playoffs. It used to be a little bit later, but, you know, they all do this to get as much traction as they possibly can. So I will say this. I think Aaron Rodgers may have led to Joe Judge getting fired yesterday. I think that's a real possibility because I know we're going to talk about this probably a lot more tomorrow, but quickly, I think Joe Judge wanted to get fired. He was like a stanza with the Yankees, you know, riding around with the trophy attached to his car and, you know, wearing Lou Gehrig's or Babe Ruth, I forget who was their jersey and smearing it with whatever. I swear the guy wanted to get fired because, look, the Giants are going to owe him $15 million over the next 3 years. He can go talk into a mirror, which I'm sure he does anyway, make $5 million a year. God bless him.
It's their summer.
I mean, the next 3 summers, yeah. I think he wanted to get fired. I mean, you know, 2 quarterback sneaks on 3rd and 9 from your own 5. That's a bit. I mean, we can rag on Brandon Staley, but that may have taken the cake. Watching that,
yeah,
you know?
that was definitely something. Hey, look, I mean, we understand that not everyone's cut out to be a head coach in this league.
No,
he's still a hell of a special teams coach.
Yes.
So,
well, can you bring him back here by Saturday?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what Belichick should do, right?
Pick him up, you know, like might as well.
Brian Flores too, right? Bring both of them back.
Get the band back together, my friend.
Absolutely. Where's Eric Mangini? Where's, you know, look, Billy O'Brien.
Let's pump the brakes a little bit here. Let's not go overboard, okay?
He's a Faison.
Bill O'Brien is obviously, he's meant to go ruin another franchise. He's going to go ruin the Dolphins at some point. So, and Brian Flores, he's getting interviewed in Chicago. And look, I think that's a good fit. But you're right. We are going to get into this a little bit more in the coming days. Actually, specifically tomorrow, we're going to talk about coaches because we spent a little bit too much time on things not named coaches. But tomorrow we will do that. We'll kind of discuss all the openings. And then we're going to start thinking about the playoffs and maybe we'll start previewing some games because, well, the playoffs are just a few days away. So in the meantime, give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live. I am at IGLEN31. And of course, John is at JohnSap25. Have a great day, folks. We'll talk to you then.